What's supposed to be on up here? Before we begin today, I have another book. Second time I've recommended a book. The first one was The Faucian Bargain, about Dr. Fauci, and I was furious by the time I read that one. And this one is by Dick Morris, called The Return, and I'm absolutely mad as I finish reading this. And you will be too if you read it. I'll tell you his bottom line. He says Trump will run again and he will win, and that he is the only one that can do it. Very interesting book. A lot of facts in here. That's a picture of Trump on the front, and then there's a picture of Trump and Dick Morris on the back. But it's very good. But as I said, it's maddening because you find out how we're being sold down the river by so many things. And I think he's right with his conclusions. So anyway, The Return. I don't like recommending books, and as I said, this is the only second one in 18 years that I've recommended. So we're going to talk today about words. And let's begin with a word of prayer before we do this. Father, we're grateful for this time we have to be together. We pray that as we open your word, that we would understand that it's the words that you have spoken to us, words that you have preserved for us, and may they edify us, and may you be glorified. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there's two possible avenues I'm going to go down today. I might just do one. It depends on how well we do. But I think that there are words that we can use that make a difference. And I think most of you know that I like words to begin with, just looking at words from the Scriptures. But I want to start with two passages, and I think that they are linked together, believe it or not. The first one is Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. And the second one is Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 6. Matthew 12, 34, Romans 10, 6. I believe that these two passages are linked. Matthew 12, 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now in Romans chapter 10, verse 6, and we know in Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul is specifically talking about Israel. In Romans 10, 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, the reason that I link those is Jesus Christ, of course, is speaking to Israel. And when he talks about the words that they're speaking, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and their words would bring them justification or condemnation, I think Paul is saying the same thing to Israel. Hey, this is all you have to do. And I think one of the things that you see is national versus individual so often. Because there was the national plan that God had for Israel, but in terms of each of them receiving eternal life, it was an individual thing. They had to believe. And as I looked at this passage before, I told you, and I still think, that this confession in verse 9, you know, we're so quick to say, well, you know, that's just written to Israel, but isn't this what we did to believe? To receive eternal life? Jesus Christ died for everybody and rose from the dead for everybody. So this really is the principle that we believe. And so in terms of words, you know, often there have been preachers that just control people by saying, you know, every idle word that you speak, you're going to be judged for that. And you can keep people in line by saying, well, you got to watch what you say. Well, the words that bring justification are what Paul is saying here. I believe with Jesus Christ. I believe what he did on the cross counts for me. I don't have to worry about being judged for idle words. That doesn't pertain to me at all. Because I have been given eternal life because of what I believe. And this is the key now, believing. In Romans chapter 3, and these are some good passages. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Believing. And this is something that almost transcends words. Because we can look at Romans 10:9 and say, yeah, that's what you confess. But believing goes even deeper than words that you speak. It's something inside you. And as I've often said, a person can believe right where they're sitting. They don't have to do anything. It's understanding what has happened on the cross for them. In chapter 4 of Romans, verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham believed. He was not justified by any works that he did. He just believed what God had said. God made a promise to him, and he believed it, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's the same thing that we do. We believe. And see, verse 5 is a fantastic verse. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The faith that we have just by believing, not justifies the ungodly. say I was when I came to him. Back in chapter 3 again, look at verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law is established by faith because of what Christ did. Because we believe in that sacrifice. And then again in chapter 4, his other example that he uses, verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He was in uncircumcision. He had not been given that promise when God declared him to be righteous, when he just believed. So again, this is something that transcends words, but it's something that we need to be able to explain to someone. Now look, all you have to do is believe. And again, we often will hear people emphasize that Romans 10:9. Well, you've just confessed this. Well, look, you just believe. And when you confess it, which say the same thing as, that confession is going to be there because it's in your heart. It's already there. You believe it. And as I said, this is often looking at national versus individual. God had a plan for the national group of Israel. But by believing, an individual found eternal life. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. That's the picture of national Israel right there. This was God's plan for them. And God tells them, it's not because you were such a great nation. You were fewer than others. But God wanted to receive glory. And so he chose these people. Now, one of the things I've been thinking about, and I've told you this, in looking at words, and that is the idea of elect. Who are the elect? And you find words like elect, elected, election, and other words that we'll look at in a moment that only Paul uses. And so you have those people that, you know, you find these dividing lines, and you have the Calvinist on one side saying, okay, I know we're elected. There are those that are elected to be saved, and there are those that are elected to not be saved. Well, that's not Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. And elect is a good word. Look at Titus 1:1. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Now, you know, this is a verse that before I've just read quickly, and you look at it and say, oh, there's a mention of God's elect. And someone would say, well, you know, it looks like there he's calling believers, the church, God's elect, and there are other places that he does, but I don't think that's happening in this verse. Because you see what it says, according to the faith of God's elect. Let me show you who God's elect is. Back in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. I believe that's about Christ. And why am I elected? Why am I part of the election? Only because I'm part of Christ. Because he's the one that is elected. Now, back to this Titus 1:1. He says, according to the faith of God's elect. God's elect is Christ. He had faith that all this would work out. And you know all those phrases where it says, the faith of Christ? It's his faith. I think here, it's his faith. That verse back in Romans 3:25, through faith in his blood, I think that was God having faith in his blood. God having faith in the plan that he provided for man's salvation. I think that's what's going on here in Titus 1:1. According to the faith of God's elect. According to the faith of Christ. So when looked at this word, and you know, I've gone through and thought about this, you find that he is the main one that God elected. Well, there was the nation of Israel, and they're called his elect. We're called his elect. But I think the pivot is right there in the middle, is Christ. He's the one that's the elect. So I'm only the elect because I'm in him. I'm in Christ. And there are words, as I said, that only Paul uses back in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. These are words that only Paul uses. This predestinate. But it's only because we're in Christ. We're in the elect one. That's what makes us elected. In Ephesians chapter 1, some more terminology that he uses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We're only predestinated because we're in Christ. He's the one that is fully chosen. So those are words that are only used by Paul. And again, when you cross over that line, you go and talk to Calvinists, and there are many believers today that are what you can call closet Calvinists, because they think that God is doing this and doing these things. And you hear them use these words, well, God chose this. God has chosen me for this task. Or God spoke to my heart and showed me what I am to do, as though they are some special person. And I have found that in these words, there is perspective that needs to be considered. Let me show you. In Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. A personal choice. Free choice. If you're thirsty, come on ahead. Whoever will. But here's the other side of the perspective. In John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Well, here we're back to that nation of Israel. When he says, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And then here's that thing about the perspective. When you look in Revelation, what's it saying there? You have the free choice. But now he's saying to this Jewish nation, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And we saw that how in Deuteronomy. Those are the ones that he chose. Those are the ones he had a plan for, to be a witness in the world. So to me, it's a matter of perspective. And again, words become important the way we think about it. Because looking at these verses we've been viewing here, our word is believe. We believe. And sometimes people get upset at that and they say, well, you're just preaching easy believism. Well, thank God it's easy. And you know that's why a lot of people miss it. Because it's so easy. We think that there has to be something attached to it that we must do. But now I want to go down this other avenue. Still talking about words. But in terms of us who have believed, and we're going to look at several verses in Proverbs, we know Proverbs is a book that will be speaking to Israel in the last days. But I find that there is a lot of wisdom in Proverbs for us, and it will help us in the words that we use. Because as I said, our primary word is believe. Okay, now that I have believed, there should be something different in the way that I view things, in the way I view other people. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. How true. If you want to, you want to stir a situation up, just do a little bit of yelling, get upset a little bit, make a person get on the defensive. You're going to stir up the anger. But if it's a soft answer, that can't be dealt with. What am I going to do with that? How am I going to yell against that? Look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The tongue of the wise using knowledge. This is why we want to have knowledge. And not only knowledge, but we want to be able to use it correctly. Use the knowledge correctly. Look at verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. We're going to study. We have to know what we're going to say. Too often, people are just speaking what they feel. And I try to tell this to students. Don't tell me that, well, I feel. Don't use those words. Say you believe. I believe. Because belief is based on something. Feeling might be based on what you had for breakfast. I mean, it's not solid. But if you have belief, it means you have some evidence. You've done some studying. Don't just have a knee-jerk reaction. Study. Find out the situation. In chapter 16 of Proverbs, look at verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Remember, Christ said that. And here he's saying the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Sometimes you have to know when to not say anything. Or you have to know when if you're about to say something that it's not something you really should say. Verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. The words that we say to people, it can be something pleasant, it can bring health. And that's why we have to be studying. What am I going to say here? How can I say something that will bring some health and not just make people mad? And often a person might say, well, that's just the way I am. I just speak my mind. I just have to speak my mind. Well, maybe you better just keep that your mind to yourself and wait until you study this out a little bit, because you might say something that later you will regret. And the problem is, those things that we say, people remember them, don't they? I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about the things that my dad said to me. How many things do I remember that he said to me? And I realized that I don't remember very many things. But you know what I remember? Every negative word he ever said to me. That's what I remember. And so I'm thinking, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that source of negative to someone. And that, you know, that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. You know, that's a big fat lie. Because if your bones are broken, they can heal. But something that rarely heals are those names someone might call you, or the negative things that they say. I think that saying just came about, it was hopeful thinking, wishful thinking. In chapter 17 of Proverbs, verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Those are two important verses, I think. And again, yes, the book of Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, books that are, that Israel's going to be using and learning from in the time of the end. But this is something good for us. And someone said once, it's better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Isn't that what verse 28 is saying? Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. If you don't have something constructive to say, don't say it. If it's going to be something that will stir people up, don't say it. In chapter 18, verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, that his heart may discover itself. Now, you know, I was thinking about this verse, and how often someone says, I want to find myself. I want to discover who I am and find out what's out there for me. And isn't that what verse 2 is saying? A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. I'm going to find out who I am. Well, wait a minute, you might not like it. You might not like what you find out. Verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. The words of a man's mouth as deep waters. Something good. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of the soul. Verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belt. There's that saying. You know, you can throw the sticks and stones, those wounds are going to heal, but the wounds of the talebearer, the words of a talebearer are wounds. They go down the innermost parts of the belly, into the gut. And have you ever felt like someone says something to you and it just hits you? You feel like you've been stabbed in the gut. That's the power of those words, the talebearer. And a talebearer would be someone who's, it's not true. And listen, today, in today's world, there are a lot of talebearers out there. A lot of people saying things that just aren't true. And what's the effect that it has? You feel it. It's upsetting. Because it's not true. It just demonstrates that these words here, they're the truth. They're right. How about verse 13? This is one of my favorite verses. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You know what that says to me? There are two sides to every story. Don't be so quick to make a judgment about something until you've heard the other side. Look at verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. You hear the story, first of all, from someone, and you think, oh, and we right away want to pick up their offenses and stand with them. And then someone else comes along, and you hear the other side of the story. This happened to me at a place that I worked at years ago. And the boss was talking to me, asked me a question about such and such, because he was mad about something that someone had said. And so right away he just had a knee-jerk reaction to what had been said to him, and then I told him the other side of the story, and then he got mad at the person who had said that to begin with, because he got so mad over it. I thought, if you just hang around a little bit and just wait, you'll hear the rest of the story. You'll hear the other side. And I think that's what this is telling us, that the first person you hear, it might sound like, wow, that's, you know, I understand. But then you hear the other side of the story. There are always two sides. Always two sides. So our posture is to just back up a little bit. Just hang on. I want to hear the full account. I want to hear from all sides. In verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Boy, how true that is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The words that we say have the ability to encourage someone and give them life, or they have the ability to just drive them down further into a depression. The words that we say, words that we speak. And as believers, we need to have words that are going to bring life to someone. Even when it's something that maybe we disagree with, I still have to be able to face a situation and have words that are going to bring life. And let me show you from Paul now in Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That one verse right there, I think, just summed up everything we looked at in Proverbs. This is for those that believe. He said, let your speech be always with grace. Well, I like to throw in a little condemnation now and then. I don't want to show someone grace if I think they deserve to be beaten down and condemned. I'm a believer. We're to show grace seasoned with salt. Now, I like that phrase because I like salt. And sometimes people say, well, aren't you going to taste that first? I think, nope, I like salt. Some things I don't put salt on, very few things. But I think I'm going to use the salt, because the salt does something. There have been times I've thought, this is too salty. But see, this is saying your words, your speech should be seasoned with salt. So think about salt. It makes things more flavorful. You know, one of the worst things to eat is a French fry with no salt on it. Or a cracker with no salt. We had a package of Ritz crackers. They had no salt on them. And I thought, you might as well just throw these right in the garbage. And you know what I did? We have popcorn salt, and I was salting them. That made them better. So the speech, it should be something that, you know, people just flock to the speech because, man, this is flavorful. I like this. I can remember working at a Christian TV station in Ohio, And the station manager, we had every year you'd do these performance evaluations. And this manager was just slick. But you'd have this performance evaluation, and he basically could tell you you were the scum of the earth, not doing your job, and you left there thinking, that's great. I love this. He told me what he thinks because his speech was seasoned with salt. He could say the absolute worst thing about your job, but you appreciated it because it was seasoned with salt. It was flavorful, and I thought, that's who I want to be. I want to be someone that can say something like that, but yet it's flavorful. Salt makes you thirsty too. Wow. You eat those French fries with salt, you got to have something to drink. To me, it's got to have bubbles in it. Not just plain water, but it's got to have some bubbles. It's got to be something significant. Well, this is the way our speech should be, that it makes people thirsty. And thirsting for more. And wanting to go deeper. And remember the one verse about the wise man and the wisdom we have, the words are, they come from deep down. But often, you know, we might be thinking when we're hearing someone speaking, when are they going to be done? You know, this has just gone on too long. And the real key is, at the end of it, do we say, is that it? Is it? You know, you're done already? It can't be, because we're thirsting for more. And it might be someone that's been talking for an hour and a half, and we're thinking, you got to keep going. And then there might be that person that speaks for 5 minutes, and you're thinking, man, this has gone on forever. When is this going to stop? Because the thirst is not there. You know, another thing that salt does, and I don't see it done as much today, as I remember as a kid, salt will kill weeds. If you have cracks in the sidewalk and there are little weeds coming, you can put salt on there and it will kill the weeds. I think I want speech like that. It's going to kill the offensive parts, take care of the weeds, weed out, you know, that which is bad, and leave the good. Salt will also melt ice. This is why we use rock salt down on ice to melt it. Speech is to be like that. You know, that you might encounter someone that they're just, it's like a wall of ice. Your speech should be that seasoned with salt that the ice starts to melt. You've heard the phrase, breaking the ice. I'm going to break the ice. That's it right there. My speech is going to be seasoned with salt. But I think often our speech is seasoned with pepper. And people just sneeze. Or get stuck in their throat. Maybe gag on it. So I've always liked this verse, and I think when we speak of words, these are the words that we speak. Your speech should be always with grace, seasoned with salt, and you may know how you ought to answer every man. There's that from Proverbs again. Study. Your heart should be studying so you know what to say. You know what to say, you know how to say it, and you know when not to say it. You know when to keep your mouth closed. Because there's nothing wrong with that. Back in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 10, and we'll close with this passage. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. This is who we are. This is the basis for any words that we speak. And you have to know, and again, back to that perspective, where are we headed? We're headed to the heavenlies. We're not going to be around here forever. All of these things are going to burn. We're going to leave all the stuff that we have. We're going to leave it behind. And I think this is one of the most incredible thoughts that I've been having lately. As you get older, you begin to realize this. I'm moving on, but this stuff is staying. And someone else is going to have to take care of it. So I don't have to get upset about those things. And I have to understand I'm going to be in the heavenlies with Christ. So that will change the words that I speak. Because the words that we speak to people now, we want to make sure that, do you understand salvation? Do you understand what's going to happen when you die? I think I've told you before, I look at obituaries in the paper every day, and I try to find some clue in that obituary, were they a believer or not. And sometimes it's very sad when you think, not so sure that they were. And I start thinking about them, where are they? What are they thinking right now? Because everybody lives forever. It's just the destination will be different. And sometimes we're thinking that, is there something that I should say? I was just talking with a former student yesterday, and we were talking about how some students, though they were in a Christian school, after they graduate later, they say, well, I'm an atheist. And you start thinking, was there something I could have said? Was there something that I could have done that would have prevented this? So we think about that. We think about the words that we use. Because, again, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. I still think about, from time to time, this kid that lived next door to us, who a few years ago, he shot himself. And there were several guys that lived in the house, and he was like the only one that ever spoke to me and acknowledged me. And after he had killed himself, I thought, you know, I never took the opportunity to tell him about the gospel. And he seemed to be the only one that was receptive to me. The others, they didn't really give me the time of day. But he did, but he killed himself. I had another former student killed himself. And you think, was there something that I could have said? Somehow, was there something I could have done to stop that? Because we are the ones with the grace. And my speech is to be offered with grace, is to be seasoned with salt, and I'm supposed to be studying, how am I going to answer these people? How am I going to give them hope? And not thinking about what's going on here, I have to be thinking about, I'm headed there. And everybody's headed somewhere. But we have to help them find the correct destination. So those are the two paths that I wanted to take today about words. Words are important. We use words all the time, and words express who we are. And we need to know those biblical words in order to give them to somebody else. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the words that you have given to us, the words in a completed book. And we pray that through those words we might be changed. And that through those words, as we understand them, that you might be glorified in our lives. And that we might see others come to know you, come to believe, and come to understand those words. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are dismissed. This is a good one. I got it at Amazon.